acknowledge the traditional custodians of the ground we stand on and thank them for allowing Papa to tell stories on these glorious lands we share.
Okay, Savory Sava, are you ready?
I am ready to be saucy and savory.
Okay, it's the end of the day. You can't be bothered. You've got home. You're hungry. What do you do? Go.
It's in the freezer already because I'm prepped like 7 days in advance. I'm so sorry. Everything's on the go.
You're defrosting.
No, I'm not defrosting. What I've done is I've actually made dumplings already with the boys. So the boys have made them, and we have to do it as an activity because sometimes I just have to pin them down so they can tell me what's going on in their
fantastic
day.
Fantastic.
And dumplings is the best way we can do it because they get their fingers in there. They can hop up on the bench. So we make their dumplings, and their dumplings they always love to eat, but they fall apart. So that's our go-to.
Well, hang on. What's in the dumplings? That's not enough. What's going
okay
in there?
So we do two types of dumplings, but the one that I'm always going to win with them is chicken, ginger, and garlic.
Okay, fantastic.
And got to get some herbs in there for them, but I've got to cut it up so fine that they don't see them.
How are you combining all that? Is there a honey, soy? What's going on?
No. So we make the chicken, the raw chicken mince, and I grate ginger, garlic, and all the
proper
rest.
Dumplings.
But I mix it with my hands. Yeah, and then we have these gauji wrappers, and then they get their tiny little fingers and they pinch them. Actually, there's a video somewhere of them doing them. Then they pinch them and they get together and then they create these shapes and all of a sudden they think they're Minecrafting. So, and that's when we have the best conversations around that.
And when do you pop open the can of Canton? Like,
Mama never makes Canton.
Yeah, it's awful stuff. Awful. So that's always ready to go. But what's your dirty meal? You've got a dirty meal. There's something you have in a car park. It might be takeaway. What is it? Come on, what's your shame? Have you got a bag of shame?
I have a bag of shame.
My friend calls McDonald's her bag of shame.
My bag of shame is the Dirty Bird.
Oh, fantastic. The Colonel.
The Colonel.
Like, fantastic. Mine's Red Rooster. So there you go.
But mine's pretty bad. Mine, I generally wake up at like 11 o'clock and I think I have this pang and I think, no, it's okay. 11:30, I'm doing really, really well. It's okay. It's fine. By 11:45, I actually have to dial it and it gets to my house cold as balls at about 12:30. And there I am watching reruns of The Crown, eating Dirty Bird.
This is fantastic. Goodness me. Mine's bad, but not mine is. Look, when I say Red Rooster, mine would be it's the chips. I love the chips there. They're fantastic. But that's a rarity. And there's something about it at the airport. It's really good airport bad food.
Oh, McDonald's is great in Athens. Actually, we've just come back from Japan, and the McDonald's in Japan is out of control.
Look, the 7-Elevens in Japan are out of control. Have you had the chicken from the 7-Elevens? What?
Breakfast. Like, you can get this beautiful chicken, this chicken out of, and then you get this lovely plum wine from the fridge right next door to a dirty
can
of Coke.
Hey, do you like, this is something that I adore now. I love impossible burgers or non-meat burgers. I think they're fantastic. If they're done correctly, they are incredible.
I don't know about them. What's in them?
Well, they're kind of concocted in a laboratory, but they're not in that awful way that you see a vegan sausage where it tastes a little bit. There's something about I think they're called impossible burgers or something. They sell it grilled and it's actually a fantastic burger patty. And I prefer it over the meat one because I know it's ethically better. Mary's in Sydney also does it with the same patty. They are fantastic. I love them. And of all the places, I feel really, really bad admitting this. Oh, it's a childhood memory again. It's a Whopper. A Whopper with heavy pickle and heavy mayonnaise, but there is a vegan option, a plant-based one, and pretty damn good. And I have to admit, over the last 6 months, I've probably had four, which is a wrong, awful thing to admit, but it's plant-based and I feel okay about it.
You've got some good market research there on the fast food convenient places.
I really shouldn't, but... I guess it's my dirty little secret is every now and then.
I want some more questions.
Okay. I would like to know your cooking theology and background comes from, I dare say, an Italian background?
Greek.
Don't push the little
thing, eh? Yes.
What did I say there? Did I say something about a little flower?
You said something about a little flower and a penis together, kind of all mixed up. So there you go.
I grew up in a Greek suburb. So, okay, I love Athens, love Greek stuff. Tell me how that, how did that molest you? How did the Greek, How did Greek food molest you as a boy?
Greek food touched me in places that I probably wouldn't have been touched before, in that it was never about, the luxury was never about the style of cooking. The luxury was actually the people and the food together. People and food were never separated. So for me, my whole career has been based on bringing food and people together. So I don't know food without people. In the very, very beginning, when I used to eat on my own, when I first moved out of home, they were some of the most saddest moments in time. And when I do eat on my own, it really plays with my mental health.
Oh, wow.
Food without people is nothing. So when I am at home, if the boys are away or they're with their grandparents, I will eat in a hurry, standing at the kitchen sink. I will actually eat and wash the dishes to get the process out of the way. I don't understand it. It's not my thing. Another thing that what the Greeks did, it was very simple and the produce was always amazing.
Yeah, of course.
So even my grandmother, I mean, and they never had a lot of money, but where the money went was the food. So it is actually giving the best and it is being generous with it. You give what you have. So that's what I get from my Greek Cypriot heritage.
It's actually really important because I connect with something there, which is quality. Because I do believe that if you're about to be hit by a bus and you never know when your moment is, if you've got the taste on your lips of some fantastic fight, if your last meal was always fantastic, if I get hit by a bus today, at least that was in my tummy. Do you know what I mean? So I can understand that kind of theology of like the money went toward the food. And so Yaya was an amazing cook.
They weren't terrible cooks, but they just knew where to get the best halloumi from in the village. They knew where to get the best chicken from, who the butcher was. And it was really like if we had to go into town, when I lived with my grandparents in the village for a while, if we had to go, we had to get it from the specific place, from the specific man. Amazing. And tell him who I was the grandchild of and what she got last time and tell him the time before that or the third time before that, like he'd remember not to give me that. She needed the last one. So it was always very specific. She would make olive oil and she lived in the village and her sisters lived in the town about 10 minutes out of the village. So I would constantly be like dragging vats of olive oil down for her sisters and it'd be this constant swap.
Yeah.
So it was people with food.
Culturally, I love that. And I wish I had that. I mean, mama's burnt chops. Okay, Sava. I guess because of food, you are orally fixated. Have you ever accidentally swallowed something you weren't meant to?
Absolutely, and you know I have.
What was it? I'll tell you mine. Mine was a Lego man's head, and I had to wait for days.
My second one that I shouldn't swallow was a marble.
Oh, of course. Did you have to wait for it to come out? Was mum
there? I had to pass, yeah. It wasn't a little one. It was just a really big one. It was really cold. It was in summer. I remember it. It was January 81. And funnily enough, we were in Marrickville at my aunt's place.
Yeah.
Well, it was in Sydenham. You know that little stretch of road that goes from Princes Highway up till
station? Well.
Where they've taken all the houses. Well, she had a house there.
Oh,
and
right.
It was really before the runway sort of took it all out. They had a house there and it was really, really, because the sun would just bake those little houses. And I remember finding a marble and sucking on it and they're like sucking because it was so cold. And then I swallowed it.
Oh, that's really funny. It is. It's such an awful moment as well. It's like, you're going to wait for that to come out. We've got to make sure it did come out or we're off to the hospital.
Yours was a Lego man's head.
I remember when he came out, he was still smiling.